Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with us as we wrap the week up. Hopefully you've been with us each day, 11 a.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio. We also podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast, and the show replays most days at 3 o'clock. So plenty of ways to catch up with us. We are in basketball season. College hoops underway. IU with a huge win earlier this week, and now they get ready for their first road test of the year. Really their first road game of the year. It's a tough one down at Arkansas. And Arkansas, a tough team, a solid team. I don't know where to compare them at this point to, we'll take a look at their schedule in a minute. I don't know where to compare them as far as Marquette and some of the teams that IU has played so far. But again, Bud Walton Arena down in Fayetteville, Arkansas, it has traditionally been one of the tough places to play in the SEC Conference. And I think it'll really tell us more about this team. I've said it's a big week for IU basketball. They answered the first test at home against top 25 ranked Marquette in a big, big way. Really, right out of the gate, they answered the call from the tip. And now we'll see what they can do on the road Sunday afternoon in Arkansas. Of course, IU looking to get this win on the road and do what we've talked about this week as far as kind of building their national prominence. There's been a lot of things written about Indiana leading up to the season, primarily about Romeo Langford and also Juwan Morgan as far as being top players in college basketball, receiving a lot of preseason honors and accolades. So that helped build the national platform, a win over Marquette, not just a win over Marquette, but a win in the fashion that IU had over Marquette, where they really dominated the game for the most part from the tip forward. Takes the next step in building that national platform, and a win on the road will really help them, I think, when the next top 25 rankings come out early next week. They could surge up in there, I think, some in the top 20 even in college basketball. So big game coming up on Sunday. I think that everybody is just elated with IU basketball right now for a couple reasons, and it's still really early. There's no reason to bet the farm on anything at this point. But number one, everybody's happy that college basketball is back. I think we can all agree on that. This has been a much anticipated season. There's no question about that. Number two, Indiana's winning and playing well, and some of the players that we've talked about and previewed leading up to the season are answering the call. We heard so many things about improvements from some of Indiana's guys, both on and off the court, and we're seeing some of that on the court now as well, including from defense, from that side of things, which has been a real concern for IU in recent seasons. So this win in Arkansas, if they can get the job done, I think it will help Indiana raise their national prominence early in this college basketball season. And by no means does it assure anything or tell you that Indiana's a lock for the tournament or will make a run at the Big Ten championship or anything of that magnitude yet. But it's a damn good start for this team if they can go down to Arkansas and get a road win. And it will also set things up for a very interesting finale in this month of November and into early December with some of the big non-conference games that are still forthcoming. Will be a lot of fun. People, I think, really excited to watch this team and, of course, to watch Romeo and see how he continues to perform early in his college basketball career. Let's take a look at the lineup. Let's set the schedule for the show. The Honey Baked Ham guest lineup segment one will have Hoosier headlines and our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Segment two, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with us. We'll recap everything that's happened so far this week and get ready for the Arkansas game. Take a little bit more of a look at their team for that contest on Sunday. And, of course, don't forget Jared is on with the Assembly Call crew immediately after the IU Network coverage of each game concludes here on the Big X Sports Radio. So lots of IU post-game, lots of breakdown, lots of discussion. It's how I close out every IU game. Jared and his team do an absolutely fabulous job, and great to have them as part of our IU coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio. Jared with us today. Segment three coming up later in the program. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star back with us. Kyle's like our utility guy on Fridays. He covers a lot of high school stuff, covers the recruiting scene very well. Been one of my go-to guys when we talk about Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. Also, with Kyle, we'll talk some Jeff Brohm and the Purdue situation. Will he leave for Louisville? There's been some rumors out there. Dan Dockich in the middle of those rumors. We'll talk about that some with Kyle when he joins us today as well. That's the guest lineup. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Headline number one is not really a good headline to talk about. IU putting out a statement yesterday that Jerome Hunter underwent surgery on Wednesday night and is out indefinitely. We knew the indefinitely part before Wednesday, before the announcement that came out yesterday, but we didn't know the severity of the injury, and we really still don't, but it is very concerning. And the last thing I'm going to do is speculate about anyone's health issues or concerns at this point. And again, because of HIPAA, this was stated in the statement from IU, because of HIPAA, they can't give out any kind of details beyond what they said. But here's what the statement said. It said, Indiana University men's basketball coach Archie Miller announced today that freshman Jerome Hunter underwent surgery Wednesday evening at the Cleveland Clinic to treat a lower body condition that first developed early in the semester. He is recovering from the procedure and hopes to return to campus next week. Hunter, who has not seen any game action, will remain out indefinitely. Due to HIPAA laws, the program is not allowed to comment on the specifics of the condition. So, again, I don't want to speculate either, but hearing Cleveland Clinic, little concerning. He is from Ohio. Maybe he's got some prior history at that hospital, or that's not terribly far from his hometown of Pickerington. But it makes you wonder what's going on, how serious it is. Is it a condition that happened during basketball conditioning, basketball practice, basketball work, or is it some sort of other health concern? All I can say right now, all I know right now, is that let's give positive thoughts and prayers to Jerome Hunter, no matter how severe, not severe the situation is, whether it's a basketball, a sustained injury or not. He's going to be a big part of this IU program, and that's what's exciting. Romeo is doing some great things, but he's likely here for 1 year. We'll talk about this in another headline. He's right up there, number five, in Gary Parrish's draft board for 2019. Robert Finnessy's doing awesome things. He's likely going to be there 3-4 years, I would have to believe. Can you imagine Robert Finnessy and Jerome Hunter, who we haven't seen in an IU uniform officially, playing at IU for 3 or 4 years together? This 18 class, even if Romeo is a 1 year and done, off to the NBA to do that, still could be a game-changing class, a program-changing class for Archie Miller and IU. But let's hope that Jerome gets healthy, finds his way back to the floor as soon as possible, but it does look like the depth that we've talked about with this Indiana team may not necessarily come to fruition, at least in the first part of this season, with some of the nagging injuries that have kept guys out a couple games, and then an indefinite injury like what Jerome Hunter has, a medical condition that's keeping him out. So very interesting to follow this one. Very concerning as well to follow this one. Jerome Hunter has the potential, I believe, out of the gate, whenever that happens, to be a contributor right away for this Indiana team. And after some games, I think he'll be the type of player you're like, kind of like you've been maybe with Robert Phinisee. Oh, wow, he's a freshman. He's doing that. Archie Miller called Phinisee a stud following the win against Marquette. I think Hunter, in his own way, can be that sort of impact player even early. He's got the body. He's got the aggressiveness, a lot of things you need to play high-level basketball right away as a freshman, especially in the Big Ten Conference. So let's hope that he makes his way back to the court at the first opportunity possible. Healthy is the key there. Also, last night, Big Ten basketball, a lot of games. I was thinking that college basketball would really pick up next week with the Feast Week tournaments and things that happen on the ESPN family of channels. But it started yesterday. I mean, there were games on and off throughout the day. A lot of Big Ten teams have been in action over the last couple days. Interesting to get a first look at a lot of these teams. And I'll tell you, one of the teams that a lot of people don't have up at the top, but it's been impressive so far, is Ohio State. They won at Creighton yesterday, 69-60. But more importantly, they closed the game on the road with a 13-0 run against the home team, Creighton. Ohio State 3-0, and they've had wins, big wins, on the road at Creighton yesterday and earlier in the season at Cincinnati. I go back to this. This is not anything that I have said just myself. This has been a common thought, I think, when you think about the future of the Big Ten Conference. But Chris Holtmann at Ohio State, Archie Miller at Indiana, those two will battle for conference championships. Those two will battle for recruits from both Indiana and Ohio for the next number of years. I believe those two guys will have unbelievable careers at both Indiana and Ohio State. So interesting, and Ohio State's not projected to be up there at the top of the conference, but they're starting off the season on a very good note and building some early confidence. I think Purdue was victorious yesterday fairly easily as well. Again, we all know that Michigan had a huge win on the road, part of the Gavitt games out at Villanova. They dominated Villanova there. And so a good start generally for this Big Ten Conference, and some interesting things to watch as some of these non-conference games unfold here over the next few weeks. An NBA IU connection note, Thomas Bryant back in the G League. He is with the Capital City Go-Go, which is the affiliate of the Wizards. So he's going back and forth now a couple times. But for now, he's been reassigned to the Capital City G League affiliate of the Washington Wizards. Looks like he has the potential to bounce back and forth a lot this year. What a great rule, finally, within the last couple of seasons, for the NBA to develop G League affiliates, at least for most teams, or they can go back and forth and be reassigned as needed, a lot like AAA baseball to the major leagues. So expect Thomas Bryant to jump around a lot from the Capital City G League team to the Wizards NBA team, especially given their location. They're both in the same city, so very, very easy for those guys to bounce around back and forth, and it looks like Thomas Bryant may play that type of role this season for Washington. IU in Arkansas on Sunday afternoon. We'll have the broadcast right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Arkansas got their Hardwood Showcase, which is what this, really not a tournament, but this preseason event is called. IU has a couple games as part of this showcase. The headline game for both teams is Indiana at Arkansas. They got it started. Arkansas got it started back on November 12th, which is when they defeated UC Davis by a score of 81-58. Of course, they are off from November 12th to the 18th when they play Indiana in the afternoon. But earlier in the year, I did not catch this game, but earlier on November 9th, it was a neutral court game. Arkansas lost by a narrow 73-71 final score to Texas. That was part of the Armed Forces Classic that took place in El Paso, Texas. And earlier in the year, their two exhibition games, they had easy wins over Southwest Baptist and Tusculum, and then had an inter-squad scrimmage back in middle of October. So it's an Arkansas team that really, outside of the Texas game, hasn't faced a predominant opponent yet this season. Indiana will change that on Sunday afternoon, but interesting game for IU on the road. Also, high school basketball scrimmages getting the season underway. Yesterday, despite some weather, despite some ice and snowy conditions, even again in the evening, Silver Creek got its season underway with a controlled scrimmage against Orleans. I talked with Brandon Hoffman, the coach of Silver Creek, earlier today, and of course a lot of excitement around that program with some returning players and also some young talent that will be with the Silver Creek Dragons for a number of years. But he said that Silver Creek was victorious in their four periods against Orleans, winning 22-9, 19-9, 21-15, and 22-10. So some sizable margin between Silver Creek and their opponent of Orleans in a scrimmage, a controlled scrimmage yesterday to get the season started. He was pleased with the team, said the things you would expect from a coach at this point. It did show him some things they need to work on in practice next week leading up to their first game. But Silver Creek expected to be one of the better teams and more interesting teams in the area to follow and watch this season, and they get things underway with the scrimmage, or they got things underway with the scrimmage last night against Orleans. Also tonight, Floyd Central is in action in a scrimmage. They take on Wagner of Louisville. New Albany is at Indianapolis Brebeuf tomorrow, and then Monday night it all gets underway. Floyd Central is at Christian Academy for the opening game of the 18-19 season. Jeff Host, Evansville Day. Understand they've got like a 7-foot player. That game will take place Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve. And then, of course, New Albany is in action on Saturday. They host Bloomington South, a big challenge right out of the gate for New Albany, who is learning its way without Romeo Langford. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, a live band on Saturdays. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk IU Marquette. We'll get ready for IU Arkansas. We'll talk Jerome Hunter, this condition, this medical injury, whatever you want to call it. We'll talk that as well with Jared Morris after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday edition of the program. Fridays, we have the opportunity to talk with Morris of the Assembly Call, who is with us each Friday on the program. This segment with Jared is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Jared, I want to start off with maybe a bit of a, I don't want to say sad note, but a somber note, a concerning note before we get into some of the positive things about this team. Jerome Hunter, a release yesterday that he was at the Cleveland Clinic Wednesday for surgery. It was an issue that developed earlier in the semester. A little concerning to me the way that was written and worded, and I'm hoping that no matter what the issue or injury or whatever's going on with him right now is, that he finds his way back to the playing floor and is healthy, because he is a young man that we're not talking much about because he's been out. He has a ton of potential and a body that is ready to play Big Ten basketball. Let's hope he can get back to the court soon, regardless what's going on.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. You know, the thing was, we had started talking about him a lot right before he got injured, because he had won the gold jersey, had a great week of practice, and it really kind of felt like he was a guy that was firmly in the rotation and whose role would grow as the season went on. So, when you hear about an injury like this, you're really disappointed for him, because, he's a guy with a bright basketball career ahead of him, that a lot of people were expecting a lot of, and I'm sure he had, hopes of kind of being on the fast track to be able to make it to the next level, whether that was 2 years or 3 years or whatever. So this is, obviously a speed bump for him, and it's really, really disappointing. And the whole, story has just been kind of concerning and confusing a little bit, just because it's, this injury is clearly different from the normal injuries the basketball players suffer. And it's kind of felt like Archie and, you know, Indiana hasn't really known how to describe it publicly or what to say. And when you see in the release that it's called a condition rather than an injury, you know, it's just it's things like that that kind of concern you. And so I think the hope, you know, much more just for Jerome personally than for what he means at Indiana, is just that this is something that surgery can help repair, you know, gets him back on, you know, back on track to be the impact player that he's expected to be. So, you know, tough to speculate because there's just not much information out there. So we'll just have to wait and see and hope for the best.
Absolutely. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest presented by Coffee Crossing. Let me get your take on the IU-Marquette game. IU gets out of the gate sharp. They were able to withstand a couple Marquette runs, and Indiana very impressive overall when you take everything into account. I'm curious your takeaways from that win.
Yeah, it was terrific. I mean, I think it's always great to see, you know, when a team is really on the same page with their coach. And I thought it was interesting that after the Chicago State and especially the Montana State game, when, I mean, Indiana from a numbers perspective, the defense was just outstanding. But, you know, if you watch the game, you saw some lapses that neither Chicago State or Montana State were able to take advantage of. And Archie made it clear in the post-game press conferences that, you know, whatever the numbers are, he wasn't pleased with the defense yet and that it would need to be better. And, you know, my guess is he understood but, you know, I wonder if part of that was, you know, knowing that Marquette was coming in, you know, one of the best teams in the country offensively last year, expected to be that again, a terrific score in Marcus Howard. You know, and really knowing that the defense would have to be close to midseason form, you know, in mid-November to win that game. And obviously they were, because they came out from the tip and they had a great game plan defensively. I mean, they were going to hound Marcus Howard, make it difficult on him, make other guys beat you. And that's the thing, is Marquette has some other really good scorers and some capable guys, and we saw them do their thing. But they're not going to be the ones that beat you. You know, Marcus Howard scoring 35 points and lighting it up from downtown is going to beat you. And the defense that Rob Phinisee put on him, and, you know, the Al Durham, and just, you know, the defense of the ball screens and jumping and passing lanes and just not letting him get comfortable or drive, it was really great to see. You know, they had a smart game plan, they executed it, and just played terrific team defense. And so, you know, to me, that's the most impressive thing about that. And you never want to jump to too many conclusions after a mid-November win at home, because we've seen a lot of those in the past, and they haven't always, you know, meant anything for how good the team would be down the road. But to me, what we really saw there was the greatest sign yet that the culture of this program has changed from one that is predicated on offense to one that's driven by defense. Because, well, you know, Indiana scored 96 points and it was great, and it was, you know, just a massive blowout for most of the game. It was driven by the defense. That's what set the tone from the tip and got everything going. And that, to me, was the most encouraging part of it.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, I think you brought up some really good points right there, because everybody's excited. Everyone was excited heading into the season. Everyone is definitely excited now after the season has begun. The Marquette win, obviously, has people looking and wondering, is this Indiana team for real? Will they be able to sustain that level of play? But I think when you back away from the exciting points about that win or about the season so far, like Romeo Langford and some of the highlights he's had, and Robert Phinisee being a great surprise in many regards, defensively and offensively, what he's been able to do for Indiana. When you get away from some of that stuff, and there are many other good things, Evan Fitzner's addition, you can't mention much without talking about that. But when you calm down from those points, when you start thinking about this thing as a long-term project throughout the season, I think the most satisfying thing about this IU team so far is they have made improvements in some of the areas, at least so far early in the year, that have been long-term issues for this program, both in Tom Crean's final years and in Archie Miller's first year, and that was defense, namely, but other things as well. Nothing's perfect. There's still a lot of improvement left. Who knows if the improvements that they've made that we've seen so far will stick. But away from the highlights and the excitement and the wins, I think that, to me, is what sounds the most about where Archie Miller is doing with this team at this early point of the season.
Yeah, I mean, they're starting to really look like an Archie Miller team, and they've improved every time out. You know, they were better against Montana State than they were against Chicago State, and they were better against Marquette than they were against either of those two teams. And that's really encouraging to see, because this is a team with a high ceiling. You know, I think, you know, obviously we're all still wondering how good this team is going to be, and and can they reach this potential? And I think we're going to find out a lot on Sunday. You know, I think, you know, Indiana playing big and dominating an opponent at home, fine. You know, we've seen that. You know, we've even seen Indiana, you know, play really well, kind of have a surprisingly positive performance like last year against Duke. You know, but then it's, okay, what do you do the game after that? You know, how do you back it up? And last year when Indiana went on the road after that, they didn't back it up very well. And so I think, you know, this year, you know, obviously a 23-point win over Marquette is better than just a close loss against Duke. But now you're going on the road. How do you respond to that? And so I think we're going to find out, you know, we're going to find out more because, you know, an Archie Miller team, and certainly, you know, the image that he has for his team is it's driven by defense. It's tough. It's gritty. You know, that's the kind of game that I think when Archie Miller kind of has everything rolling, Indiana will go into Arkansas, a team that they are better than, and impose their will. And maybe it won't be a blowout win, but it'll be just a take care of business type win. Is this group ready to go do that on Sunday? You know, I can't wait to find out because I think if they're able to go in, you know, and in this week stretch that we were all looking forward to, because we didn't learn too much against Chicago State and Montana State. But if they can dominate a top 25 team at home and then go take care of business on the road, now I think you maybe start, you know, shifting your expectations a tad and saying, okay, you know, we knew we had a good team. We might have a really good team here. And so I think that this game on Sunday is really going to tell us a lot, at least as much as you can know in mid-November, about just how good this group is.
You know that old saying, when you take a vacation for a week and you go to the beach and you've got the family, and in your case, you've got kids and things, you sometimes say, I need a vacation when I get back because traveling can wear you down. And imagine traveling with college-age kids and trying to get them places on time and, of course, trying to balance studies and school and all that as part of this process. A road game against anyone is tough, and I think that we who cover this stuff and fans who root for teams forget that at times, especially at the college and even high school levels. Traveling adds a whole nother issue to competing, to winning games, to being competitive, that sort of thing. So not only going on the road for the first time with this team this season, but it being at a quality opponent like Arkansas, being at a place that's notable for being a tough place to play. I mean, I've listened to Kentucky fans here in southern Indiana, Kentuckiana, talk about Arkansas, and Bud Walton Arena is one of the tough places in the SEC conference. And so I think that makes this week even more interesting, coming off of a big home game win. You don't want to get too excited, as you said, but if you can go to Arkansas, you can beat a solid team on their home floor in a place that's notable as a tough place to play. Shifting expectations a bit, I think, is a very fair way to say it.
Yeah, and you know, this is going to be a particularly challenging game because of the style. You know, they play that 40 minutes of hell. They're really going to press. And, you know, it's not expected that Devontae Green will be back, you know, nor Zach McRoberts, who's, you know, a guy who's been around the block and been in some tough arenas. So you're really going to be relying a lot on, you know, guys like Rob Finnessy and Romeo Langford, who are playing their first, you know, college basketball road game. I don't feel like, you know, like that's going to phase them too much. Those guys are so mature. You know, it's safe to feel pretty comfortable with them. But you're still, I mean, you're down, you know, one of your ball handlers in Devontae Green. That's a lot of pressure on Rob Finnessy and Al Durham, you know, to be the ball handlers, to be able to break that press and get Indiana into what they want to do. And same thing with Romeo. So, you know, that's going to be really interesting. And then, you know, how Indiana is able to defend Arkansas's potential lottery pick big man, Daniel Gafford. So it's going to be a great challenge. And these are the types of games that hopefully the program is ready to win, because over the last couple of years, this is not the kind of game that you would have gone into with a whole lot of confidence. So, you know, I can't wait. Let's see what happens.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, our guest. Jared, I saw Mike Miller from the Bloomington paper tweet out just earlier this morning that Juwan Morgan is the most recent recipient of the gold practice jersey that's based on a plus-minus scoring system kept, I assume, by coaches and managers in practice. He's had that thing now three times in 5 weeks, which I guess should be of no surprise when you're talking about Juwan Morgan and the leader that he is for this team. And I know that we've gotten very excited talking about a lot of Indiana's freshmen, and rightfully so, and a lot of Indiana's new additions like Evan Fitzner, but I'm not sure Juwan Morgan has come close to playing his best college basketball of the season, but yet he's still the steady leader week in and week out in practice. And I think as Indiana gets into some of these big games, like a road game at Arkansas, like a game against Duke on the road as well forthcoming, he'll step up. He will be a solid for Indiana. I don't have any concern about that.
Well, you know, I thought he was outstanding against Marquette. You know, I didn't think he started out the season very well because, you know, against Chicago State, it just kind of felt like he was going through the motions a little bit. And, you know, look, he's a senior. He's been around the block. He probably doesn't get too motivated by, you know, season opening game against Chicago State. But I thought against Marquette, he was really good. And I think, you know, what we may see from Juwan is that, you know, his scoring numbers especially, maybe a little bit down this year from where they were last year, but I think he will be a much more impactful player, in part because he's just a year older and he's better, has improved his skills, all of those things, but also just because the pieces around him are going to allow him to do more things. You know, you think back to last year and he was great, but there was so much pressure on him, you know, and there's still a lot of pressure on him this year, but it's not quite the same. You know, he doesn't have to go down and feel the pressure to get a bucket every single time, or where's the offense going to come from? You know, we've got guys like Romeo Langford and Rob Phinisee who can create, get their own shots, get shots for other guys. And what I thought was so impressive against Marquette is, you know, his rebounding was great. He had 9 rebounds, and they were tough rebounds. You know, he's averaging 3 assists per game right now, and then he's always been a really good passer, but now he's got guys, you know, smart players like Justin Smith, you know, who continue to be really good with basket cuts. And guys like, you know, Romeo and others who can actually score when they're on the receiving end of passes, which wasn't always the case last year. And defensively, you know, I struggle to think of a game when he played better defensively than he did against Marquette. And it wasn't that he necessarily had a lot of big blocks and a lot of big steals and plays that you remember, but it was the subtle stuff. You know, it was the hedges on ball screens and being in the right place and communicating, you know, kind of, you know, being a quarterback for, you know, the defensive strategy that they had. And when you're talking about defense, and especially the pack line, where, you know, the movements and the rotations and everything really needs to be in sync, you know, some of those subtle things can make a big, big difference. And those are the types of things that, you know, you got to be focused on from possession to possession. And I thought Juwan really did a good job of doing that. And it's part of the reason why Indiana's defense for the most night was so consistent. So, you know, I think that's going to be the thing to watch for, is even if the numbers aren't as dominant as they were against, like, Notre Dame last year, there are still so many different ways that when he's locked in, he impacts the game. And I thought we saw a lot of him against Marquette.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, our guest. Before we get, I want to talk a little bit about the Big Ten Conference before we close. Before we get there, though, I do want to bring up Al Durham. He had a terrific game on Wednesday coming back from a nagging injury. You guys spent a lot of time talking about Al and his performance on Wednesday night, his improvements that he's made in the offseason on the most recent edition of Assembly Call Radio, which you can find at assemblycall.com. Talk a little bit about what you think he has brought to this team so far, and what maybe with the improvements he made, the type of role he could play for the Hoosiers this season.
Well, you know, last year, I mean, you could tell, I mean, really just from his body type, even before the season started, that he would project as a good defender. You know, he's got long arms, he's quick. But, and there were times last year when he was a good defender, but he, like everybody else, was kind of figuring things out. And so he would get out of position and kind of, you know, be running around, you know, not quite sure where to be. And, you know, what I thought was so impressive against Marquette is he just seemed so under control and confident about where he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to be doing defensively. And he was great. I mean, you know, when we found out that Zach McRoberts wasn't going to play, it's like, oh man, you know, we're missing maybe our best defensive player against this great offense. That's not good. And Al stepped right in and was every bit the defender that you would have expected or hoped that Zach would be in that game. And then on top of that, you know, he goes out and hits double figures and has whatever it was, you know, 5 assists and 1 turnover. So, you know, he really showed all the different skills that he has. And, you know, it's important to remember, you know, last year he started out really well and was kind of a revelation at the beginning of the season. Because it's like, hey, here's the guy who handles the ball and doesn't turn it over. You know, the bar for excitement was very low, and he passed it. But he was really impressive. And then as the season went on, you know, he played less, his confidence kind of waned, and he wasn't the same impactful player. So, you know, obviously that kind of bears watching, and you would hope that as a sophomore with more development that he's able to continue this high level of play, and certainly it matches everything that we heard about him in the offseason. So, I thought it was one of the more encouraging performances to see him step in like that and just be ready to go and to play at such a high level. And he really brings a unique ability offensively to get into the lane and, you know, get fouled or get it up there on the basket. And he's got a nice soft touch with either hand. So he's a guy that if he's ready to take that next step, and if that Marquette game was a harbinger of what's to come, you combine that with what Rob Phinisee has already shown, and this giant question mark that Indiana had at the guard position coming into the season starts to look a heck of a lot better. And, you know, we all said that was one of the biggest keys to this team reaching its ceiling. So really, really encouraging performance. And now the key for Al is just to back it up and back it up and back it up and start to be more consistently like that.
This conversation with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call presented by Coffee Crossing. Want to close with the Big Ten Conference. In the opening segment today, one of my headlines was Ohio State and Chris Holtmann and Archie Miller, two young coaches in the Big Ten Conference, how competitive they have made both of these programs, and I think that they will continue to make both programs for years to come, and the potential recruiting battles that they could have both with Ohio and Indiana-based players in the foreseeable future. But Ohio State, two big road wins. They beat Cincinnati, and yesterday Creighton coming from behind at the end to win. Michigan beat defending national champion Villanova at Villanova a few days ago. Wisconsin has won at Xavier so far. Iowa beat Oregon. Marquette, of course, we know they fell to Indiana. Indiana playing well there. Nebraska dominated Seton Hall. Minnesota beat Utah. I don't want to get carried away with the conference this early, much like we're cautioning fans to not get too carried away with IU early in November after a big win at home nonetheless. But the Big Ten, it might be better than what people gave it credit for in the preseason, and some big wins in the past few days for the conference for the middle of November.
Yeah, it's been really impressive. And, you know, it's great to see, obviously. I mean, these are Indiana's rivals, and you want to beat them every time you play them. But, you know, because of how strength of schedule and all that stuff works, you know, you really want to root for the Big Ten to be good because it's going to kind of help all boats rise come March. And look, I think the criticism or the analysis that the Big Ten doesn't have maybe an obvious Final Four candidate, that's probably fair. You know, there probably isn't an obvious great Big Ten team, not that one couldn't emerge. But, you know, it certainly seems like there's 7-8 teams that could potentially be Sweet 16 teams, you know, if they make the tournament and get a good draw. Because it seems like there's that level of, you know, and parity is kind of a word that gets thrown around, but I don't even think, you know, I want to use that. It's just more, there's a lot of really good teams, and it's going to make the race for the Big Ten title really interesting and, you know, provide no kind of easy get well games. It's like every single night that you go out there, you're going to be facing a pretty good team, and there's a lot of really good coaches in the conference. So I think this Big Ten season is, I guess it depends on your flavor. If you like to, you know, see a historic elite team, you know, kind of run through the Big Ten, I don't think you're going to see that this year. But if you just want to see crazy competition day after day after day in the conference, I think you're going to love this Big Ten season because there's so many teams that I think are going to play really quality basketball and provide, you know, fun matchups night after night.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call. Don't forget you can catch Assembly Call, IU postgame show right here on the Big X following Sunday afternoon's IU game at Arkansas. Jared, keep up the great work. Thanks so much for your commentary and time each week on the program, and we will look to hear you again Sunday after IU plays on the road. Another big one early on for the Hoosiers.
Sounds great, Matt. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. When you're looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company. That's 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread, great pastries as well. Now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with our final segment of the day. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins me. High school football semi-state action tonight. No local teams, unfortunately, in the semi-state, but Columbus East is there. They seem to find their way deep into the state tournament every year. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Jeff Brohm and Rondell Moore at Purdue, and a little bit of recruiting coming up with Kyle Nedrip after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Friday edition of the program, Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star with us each and every week. We talk high school sports, recruiting, and more. And the semi-state round of high school football and the state tournament will continue tonight. Teams will look to punch their ticket to the state championships, which will follow Thanksgiving next week on both Friday and Saturday, depending the class at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And I want to start right there with you, Kyle. No local team for us. You'd have to go a little west out to Southridge or a little north to Columbus East, who is a member of the Hoosier Hills Conference and plays a lot of our local schools. We thought early on, at least from our perspective, with close games against New Albany, Columbus East won by a point. Bedford North Lawrence challenged them in the regular season as well. We thought it might be a Columbus East team that was down a little bit, but what do you know? They find their way to the semi-state. They seem to put it all together in the sectional, roll past New Albany in the second meeting, roll past Bedford North Lawrence in their second meeting, and now they're playing for a trip back to Indianapolis tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you, Matt. You never write off Columbus East and everything Bob Gattis has done there with that program, but they lost so many guys, so many key contributors from last year's team that you weren't sure if they were quite the pedigree that they have been. And really, you look at that game that they have against Decatur Central, and it's a game where you feel like Decatur is the better team. They're just probably have played an overall better schedule, have maybe been a little bit more impressive overall, but going down to play Columbus East in that environment, Decatur has never been there before this far in the tournament. So, from a pedigree and history and tradition standpoint, Columbus East has all of that on its side, plus it's at home. And Bob Gattis has been doing this for so long there has to be some sort of advantage with all those sort of intangible things. And, Kyle Enright's done a great job at Decatur. He's a Decatur alumni. He's been there as assistant. He's done a great job as well. But I just wonder how Decatur will handle, such a big game and knowing the fact that Columbus East has been there so many times, it makes it tough. You feel like you're maybe more on even footing if it's a situation where both teams are a little bit more inexperienced in this situation, but I think if Decatur wins it, it'll make it even sweeter, and if Columbus East wins it, you can certainly understand everything that goes into trying to beat those guys, and this is, it's Columbus East is a team, they're probably going to be even better next year with the guys they have coming back, so it seems like they never go anywhere too far, they're always good.
And am I right, will they bump up to 6A if they win tonight, or have they already reached that level based on success here in the last few seasons?
That's a good point. This is the second year of that. So based on there, and I haven't looked into, I guess, based on that, if they win, that would be another 3 points, right? So that would be, that would bump them up. Actually, they already would be, I think, because they won the region. So they have 6 points as of now. So yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that will definitely open things up a bit in the 5A sectional locally, which includes New Albany, Floyd Central here in this area. Another big game, this is kind of from a statewide perspective, nobody local, but David Bell and Warren Central will take on Center Grove, and those two schools are unanimously the top, or at the top, I should say, of Indiana high school football each year, and when it comes to mid to late November, you can expect one or both of those schools to be playing deep into the state tournament. That should be a good one tonight. It's hard for me to see Warren Central not getting this state championship here in a few weeks. But Center Grove will pose a challenge for them. A lot of eyes and a lot of talent in that game tonight.
Yeah, it should be a sensational game. And you know, I've kind of thought all along the type of team that's going to be able to beat Warren will be a team like Center Grove. There's not very many like them, but if you can run the ball, if you can play great defense, you're going to give yourself a chance. You know, if you can take it deep into the second half, it's going to be, you know, cold weather. You know, it always seems like when Center Grove is when it's cold out and you can see your breath and all that, they're at their best. And, you know, Warren's going to run into that tonight. I covered their game last week, actually, against North Central. Fantastic game. It was, you know, a three-point lead. North Central had the lead in the fourth quarter. Early in the fourth quarter, and you know, they had the ball, were forced to punt, and made the mistake of the night. You know, the punt went right down the middle of the field, and David Bell, of course, standing there waiting for it, and even surprised him they didn't kick it out of bounds. And you know, he goes 63 yards for a touchdown, and Warren never trailed again in that game, although it was close right to the very end. But they were in a real battle last week. That North Central team is very, very good. Hard to believe they're not in the top five, you know, teams in the state as well. But I think, you know, getting through that game, you know, Warren has played so many lopsided games this year. I think it's actually maybe a good thing to play a game like that in the cold weather already. It was really, really cold last week with the wind and everything. So, you know, they should be ready for this type of game. Center Grove is going to give them a really good running game with Carson Steele, the sophomore, and he's been over 200 yards, I think five of his last seven games. So he's tough, physical runner, you know, and if Center Grove played him pretty well in the first game of the year, I covered that game, it was 27-15, they just couldn't finish drives, and they moved the ball some, they just couldn't finish drives. So if they can, you know, they're going to have to hit a few plays in the passing game and then really try to control the clock as much as they can. But I'm kind of like you. I'd be surprised to see Warren go down. It would be a big story if they did. And, you know, and I think everybody expects them to win state. But these last two games, having to beat Center Grove and Carmel most likely, those are the type of teams that can play a little bit of keep away against them, and both have really good defenses. So it's not a foregone conclusion.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, I guess. Kyle, a couple things here I want to get to before we close out for Friday. Signing day, early signing period, I should say, started on Wednesday. Doesn't look like Trace Jackson Davis for sure is going to sign. He said that much. Keon Brooks, the thought has been he will not sign early, but there's nothing in stone that says that, and I don't believe he's been quoted saying that. Anything else basketball-wise? I know Armand Franklin has signed, and he did so right away on Wednesday to make it official with IU. But any surprises or anything you're going to be following through next Wednesday when this early signing period ends for men's and women's basketball?
No, I don't think there's anything out there that is going to surprise us. I think, you know, the biggest story really is Trace and Keon, and I don't anticipate either one. Yeah, I had a chance to talk to Trace about some other stuff, and then we talked about the signing day on Monday, and you know, he kind of threw out there, I expect to, you know, commit in the next month or so. Didn't really nail down a date or anything, and hasn't decided specifically on a date. But you know, I think that's probably not any kind of surprise. It's been reported a few times already by us and others that he was going to wait. But I don't think he's too far off from making an announcement and then, you know, signing in the next period, which would be April. But you know, I know he even said, he's like, you know, I'm not going to wait until April. I'm just going to, you know, that's probably when I'll end up signing is the next period. So those are really the big stories. There wasn't anything, you know, no unexpected non-signees that I tracked. Kind of just touched base with everybody and sounded like, you know, most people got it done already on Wednesday and or a day later. So no real surprises there, and always fun to see, you know, kind of the culmination in those kids able to put their names on the paper on Wednesday.
Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, last question, last topic for you. Jeff Brohm, what are you hearing up there? Do you think he'll come to Louisville? And a lot of people interested because obviously IU plays Purdue in a week from Saturday, which could very well determine bowl eligibility for the Hoosiers, who are not expected to get their sixth win and become eligible this weekend at Michigan. And also, got a local kid playing at Purdue, and a big reason that he flipped his commitment to Purdue was Jeff Brohm, the connection he had with him and his family through the Trinity program, which is where Rondell Moore finished his high school career at the last two seasons. And people wondering, would he try to transfer to Louisville? Would it be worth sitting out a season? How would that work? So your thoughts on that entire situation. A lot of things swirling around Jeff Brohm right now. He's denied rumors that he's going to accept the job the day after or 2 days after the Purdue regular season ends. But I'm curious what you're hearing in Indianapolis and what you think.
Well, that's a good, interesting topic. I don't know. You know, he's sort of making a denial to the report and a sort of a non-denial. You know, it's one of those things you're kind of caught both ways. I'm sure, you know, at some point there will be a conversation with Louisville that if there hasn't been already, you know, just because there are so many ties there. But the last part of that is the interesting thing to me, and I don't know for sure, you know, what happens, but kind of the bigger piece is the recruiting aspect of it. And you brought up Rondell Moore, and, you know, I know David Bell, you know, in his shoes, you know, if Brohm is there, I think Purdue's a real possibility. And if he's not, I can't imagine, you know, walking into that situation where you don't know who the new coach is going to be. So that's really the intrigue for me, is how all that plays out. Because I do think, you know, and I know from talking to David and the coaches around him, that he wanted to wait until January, just because so that way he would know where all the pieces fit. And, you know, I know we talk about that a lot with basketball, but very valid, you know, as this thing kind of unfolds here in these last couple of weeks, that's been something I've been thinking about too, is, you know, a good decision probably to wait, not that you couldn't have decommitted or whatever, but it kind of gives you a lay of the land and, you know, knowing where everything will fit by the time early January rolls around and he does make that decision. So, you know, to me, the bigger piece, whatever happens, is the recruiting aspect of it and how that all unfolds. And I know people even on the team, and not let alone recruits, are wondering, you know, what's going to happen. And I know he addressed that with the team yesterday, just to kind of put it at ease for now. But I expect that'll ramp up, and sounds like a real possibility of that happening. I'd love to see him stay at Purdue. I think he's got everything in place there to make a real run here the next few years, but I certainly understand with his family ties there.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, at Kyle Nedrip on Twitter. You can read his work at indystar.com/sports. Kyle, thanks. Have a great weekend. Talk with you next week.
Awesome. Sounds good, Matt. Thank you.
That's going to wrap things up for this Friday edition of the show. Back with you Monday right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.